Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't know how many years I've done it, and, you know, the media always switched it to badgering the flag. You know, I don't know why now the severity has changed so much. You know, there have been multiple lives lost from, you know, I don't know, when I guess when Kaepernick first started, or when it first started, what was that, 6-7 years ago, and we're still protesting and arguing about the same thing, you know? You know, I look myself in the mirror every day. You know, I see people like me being, you know, harassed for absolutely no reason. So, you know, the simple fact that now, for whatever reason, the message is trying to be, I guess, more pushed, you know, it's kind of, to me, it's very frustrating, because there's been so many lives lost through the years that, you know, people have just swept under the rug. And you know, I'm sorry, it's frustrating. So how about this? I don't know. I'll think about it.
Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Pleased to be joined right now by former Bears offensive lineman Jermon Bushrod, who joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. It's been a while. Jermon, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing today?
Hanging in there. I thought that you would be a perfect guy to bring on, because of the perspective that you always used to bring when I got to know you during your time with the Bears. But you also have the unique situation of being a longtime teammate of Drew Brees. And you are not shy about your thoughts when it comes to social media. So I guess, big picture, can you wrap things around what's happening in our world right now?
I just think it's a lot of frustration. I think it's a lot of voices that have wanted to be heard for a long time. And the fact that we are in such a, I guess you could say, a troubled time in the United States with the pandemic that we've been going through. And then you still see some of the same racial and social injustice type of issues that are going on. You know, there's 40 million people without jobs, and the news is in front of everybody's face, and you have to deal with the reality of where we are. And I really think that's why we're in the state that we're in now, because people have taken a step back from their really everyday lives and their distractions, and you don't have any distractions right now. You have to face what's kind of going on, and there's been a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of voices that's been wanting to be heard for, I mean, I can't even count the amount of years that people have been trying to get their voice heard. But now it just seems like everything is coming to a head.
Hey, Jermon, first of all, congratulations on your retirement. I love to talk
Thank
to
you.
A guy that has the opportunity to have a career like you and has also the opportunity to retire. But first of all, how much do you weigh right now? Have you done the drastic body weight loss like we've seen so many guys do?
I am down. When I was in Chicago, I fought to be at 325 every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whenever they had us playing. Right now, I weighed myself yesterday. I was 295, so I'm starting, you know, I've lost, you know, in between 20 and 25 since I've last played. It hasn't been as drastic as I've wanted it to be, but we are we're heading in the right direction. I feel good. You know, my health feels really. I feel good physically, mentally. I'm in a great state. My family's here. My family is as healthy as can be, and I'm just in a. I'm in a good state of mind. You know, right now with where I am health wise.
Jermon, you and I were both raised in football life, and do you think football can have a role in the growth and the solution of the social climate, or is this bigger than sports?
I think it's bigger than sports, but I also think that, you know, like I stated earlier, the pandemic has put everybody, has kind of sat everybody down, you know. Professional athletes aren't playing. Entertainers aren't entertaining. Actors aren't acting. Actresses, is, you know, in the same boat. So, you know, you're not losing anything. You know, you have the ability, you have the opportunity to step up. I think the NFL and the moves that they have made, I think they are trying to correct some of the wrongs, change the narrative that, you know, that have been going on with Kaepernick and his kneeling and his stance and with all that has been going, you know, the real reason. I believe that the NFL is trying to right some wrongs, and you have a lot of other corporations, businesses who are kind of following suit, and it's pretty cool to see. But there's so much for this. It's a long road ahead of us, and I think we're starting to make some of the right decisions that have to be made. But you know, I'm happy about where we are, but we need a lot more. We need a lot more change. But the NFL can be a great voice. Yes, I do believe that.
Visiting with former Bears offensive lineman Jermon Bushrod here on 670 The Score. We heard from current Bears defensive lineman Akeem Hicks recently, and he mentioned that back when the Kaepernick situation was first happening, when he started to take a knee, and you remember the way that was covered and the controversy that ensued, he said there were probably a lot of other players that wanted to take a knee at the time, including Akeem himself, but yet he was worried that what happened to Kaepernick would eventually happen to other players, and himself included, that you'd be blackballed from the league. How did you feel during that time when that was going on?
I felt exactly the same way. You know, I know a lot of people don't like to hear it, but hats off to Kaepernick because he made the ultimate sacrifice. He stood up. You know, this is the message that he's been trying to get across since 2016. And now everybody understands, well, not everybody, but most people understand and most people get it. And Akeem is right in what he said. You know, what happened to Kaepernick? What happened to, you know, Brandon Marshall out in Denver? You know, what happened to Eric Reed for a while? They all got kicked out of the league for a minute. Some of them didn't get their jobs back. Some guys didn't get their jobs back. Some of them did. Some of them kneeled months after the fact, you know. But Kaepernick was the first guy. He's the one who started it, and he's the one who hasn't been in the league since the 2016 season. So he did make the ultimate sacrifice. And the thing that Akeem Hicks said was right, and it resonated with a lot of African-American players in the league because they wanted to continue to be a voice. But you work so hard to get to where you are, you know, and now you're finally a professional athlete. And some guys, it's hard to make that sacrifice. So that's why I say it's hats off to him. But, you know, I'm in the same boat as Akeem. I wanted to take that knee. But we didn't. For whatever reason that you didn't do it, you didn't do it. But as long as you continue to speak out, and you know, in my eyes, I felt like, just continue to speak out. Even though we didn't take a knee, you still stood up for what you felt like is right. You know, we are in the business of entertaining, but we are people first. We have people who look like us who are hurting. And we wanted to make sure that, hey, we're on their side, but we're on the side of you too. You know, we want to be here. We want to be a part of these teams, and we want to win, and we want to put our best foot forward. But at the end of the day, we are individuals. We have families. We have feelings. You know, we have emotions just like everybody else. You know, we have highs and we have lows. Our profession comes with a nice paycheck if you're lucky enough to make it to your second, third, or if you're a first round draft pick. You know, this profession comes with a lot of perks. But you know, it's just a very sensitive subject. But Kaepernick will be remembered for something bigger than entertaining, you know, when his legacy is pretty much complete.
Yeah, I think that most people who looked at the situation understood that when history is written, Kaepernick would be on the right side of history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are beginning to find that out now. And that brings me to what changed? What was it about the George Floyd murder that changed, from an NFL standpoint, the attitude? Because you had some of the biggest stars in the league.
There's no distractions. There's no distractions. When George Floyd got murdered on in front of everybody's eyes, you had to see it. And if you didn't see it, then you were just turning a blind eye. You didn't want to see it. You didn't want to acknowledge it. That was the frustration with Drew Brees' comments, because that's not the narrative. It's not about the flag. It never was about the flag. It's not about our military. The silent protest with the kneeling was about something that was way bigger. So when Drew said those comments, and I don't mean to bring it back to Drew like this, but if you're not getting it, then you just don't want to get it. And then that's just ignorance. And if you're ignorant to the situation, you can't be compassionate. You can't be empathetic. You can't put yourself in other people's shoes, you know, because George Floyd could have been any of us. And I know people don't want to hear that, or they don't agree with that, or you're a professional athlete, you make a lot of money, you're not going to be in those situations. That's not true, because when I was in high school, I got my car illegally searched a couple of times, just because I was going 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. Now, if I would have not complied, or, you know, stuck up for myself, or like I should have in those situations, I was young, so I didn't know. But my parents always taught me about doing whatever, you know, just comply just so you can get your behind home, you know, because you don't want to be putting yourself in any kind of situation. Now, you have to be empathetic. You have to learn. You have to understand why your black brother or sister feels the way that they feel when they encounter a police, because just everybody doesn't have the same situation. So if you can't put yourself in somebody else's shoes, it's very frustrating for people who don't want to understand that, for people who don't want to understand that, or people who don't care to understand that. But the great thing about the whole Drew Brees situation is that he's a great man. He's a great leader. And he's a man of God, and he will learn. Like, he will have an understanding, and he's in a great locker room in New Orleans with really good, I'll say great African-American leadership on and off the field, you know, with guys like DeMario Davis and Malcolm Jenkins and Cam Jordan. Those guys will, I guess you could say, catch him up to speed. You know what I'm saying? Educate him a little bit. Really tell him, hey, man, these are the real issues at hand, and we don't want the false narrative to continue to be spread, because you have such a powerful voice. That was the main thing that was really so frustrating about the Drew situation. But Drew, he will be better from this, and he will bring other people along. And it'll be a better situation because of it, but you just have to go through some uncomfortable times. Like, you know, you asked me to be a guest on the show, and these are uncomfortable conversations. I haven't had these kind of conversations with any of my close friends, white friends, black friends. Now that's the conversation that I'm having every single time that I'm with people. And it's a beautiful thing. It's okay to be uncomfortable. You know, I was in the NFL, every day was uncomfortable. You know, every practice I had was uncomfortable. Every game was damn sure uncomfortable. And now, you know, If you don't want to get it, that means you just don't want you don't want change. You don't want a better world, you know. So it's a sensitive time we're in, but it's a good time. It's a good time right now in the United States. I know a lot of things bad are happening, but it'll be all better. I think so. I really think at the end of the day, it's going to be better. And I'm hopeful, and I'm optimistic because of that.
Why do you feel like this is a tipping point, that this is really going to lead to the kind of change that you've been looking for?
Because everybody is talking about it at such like it's everywhere. All media outlets, you know, it's all on the radios. All, you know, a lot of people's podcasts are talking about it. People who didn't exercise their voice for change are now exercising their voice on social media. And like we were saying earlier, companies are starting to understand, or starting to, you know, maybe they should have started to understand a while back. You know, maybe the NFL should have listened a couple years ago, but that's not where we were in the world. The world was different. Everything stopped. You know, your normal life, it wasn't normal. And what we're going through right now isn't normal, but it's also not right. So we all have to come together. We all have to come together for a greater good. And that's just what I'm hopeful. That's just what I'm hopeful for. I'm hopeful that we can have some real change. You know, it's going to take a while, but we have to start somewhere. And change has already happened. But we're all equal. We all bleed the same way. We're all human beings. We all feel the same types of emotions, and we all want to be looked at in the same light. So if not now, then when? It has to be now. That's my feelings on it.
You know, Jermont, it's weird because you and I have a lot. You're a fourth-round draft choice, so is I. You're born August 19th. I'm born August 16th. We've had a life of football. But it's weird because up until this point, Jermont, if I was talking to you as a Bears broadcaster before this, I would look forward just talking about the commonality of our football lives. You talked about having conversations that there's a little nervousness to. What advice can you give me to ask, say, support, talk about the right things?
Just be open and just ask, because I promise you, especially, you know, I host a podcast, right? And my co-host is white, and we have been friends since 2002, and we haven't had deep conversations about these type of issues. But our last podcast was literally dedicated to the same type of discussion we're having right now. And it's eye-opening, because you get the opportunity as a black man to tell somebody, this is how I've been feeling for so long, okay, when I'm in certain positions. Like, you know, you get kind of numb to it. Like I said, I've had my car searched a couple times. I've been walking down the street and I see people lock their doors. I've been on numerous elevators where I'm a big black man. And obviously most of the time when you see me off that football field, I have a smile on my face. But when I'm, you know, if I'm on that field, I'm a totally different person. But if I'm off, I'm smiling. I try to be, and I'm very open and inviting. But I've had people walk on the elevator, look me in my face, and walk right back off. And it's happened to me so many times that I have become numb to it. So for me, to answer your question, just have the conversation. How are you feeling? You know, how does this make you feel? Or, you know, if you do have some time, check out my podcast, The Bush and Me Show. He has a really good way of putting himself in my shoes, or just using different analogies to kind of drive a point home. But it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary, you know. And honestly, it's just kind of everyday conversations now for me. I know over the last few weeks with everything that's been going on, especially if you have time to look at, you know, those acts of violence that's been on TV, you know, with the George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. If you haven't looked at that, when I first seen these types of things, I get tears in my eyes, because that could have been, you know, that could have been myself. It could have been a cousin. It could have been an uncle. It could have been one of my dear friends. So it's like, you know, just having some understanding, just being open about it, you know, because everybody's having a conversation now, and you'll be just like everybody else. You know, we're all having a conversation. Don't feel uneasy about it. Let's just do it, because then the person you're having that conversation with will be much more appreciative of your friendship, because you really know what's going on, like, or you have some kind of understanding. So therefore you can be empathetic to how he's feeling at certain times. I hope I answered that.
Yeah, absolutely. You did. Jermont Bushrod is our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Have you had this type of a conversation with Drew Brees?
We text. I text him. I sent him a little bit of a longer text. I wasn't going to text him because, you know, he was going through some things and I didn't want to bombard him, but I was talking to another former teammate of mine, Jari Evans, who we actually, you know, we did that hour podcast with. And before I talked to him, I asked him, you know, to come on the podcast and we had talked about it. And then he asked me if I texted Drew and I told him no. He was like, well, you should probably reach out to him because he would love to hear from you. And it was a couple days after, you know, that interview that he did got released. So I texted him and I told him that I told him pretty much everything I told you guys. You know, I was frustrated. I was disappointed. But I know you, you know, like I know who you really are. I know you're catching it right now. But I know who you are. Like you're a great man of God. You're an awesome family man. One of the best leaders I've ever been around. And I know if anybody can you know, make a wrong right, it's you. And, you know, just because you're a leader and you got a great, you know, you got a great locker room down there. You have great, like I said earlier, Black African-American leadership down there, and they will help. And I know he's following in the right direction. So I did. I exchanged text messages with him just to let him know that how I felt, who I know who you are. I love you. And it's all going to be good because with your change, you're going to change a lot of other people as well. So I know who he is. So yeah, I did have some communication with him.
Hey, Jermona, I want to switch gears a little bit because there's a lot of parents mm-hmm. that listen, and we're talking about sports and kids, and a lot of them are losing their seasons and stuff. So I look mm-hmm. at your high school background. You play football, you play basketball, and you play basketball, baseball, football. And then you go to Townsend University, and you play football. Mm-hmm. If you would have focused on just football throughout your whole high school career, do you think you would have went to a bigger university, or would you have not have been as good as an athlete if you didn't play all three sports? Because I'm a big believer, Jermon, of kids playing as many sports as they want, even in this day and age.
Well, with my kids, man, I live down here in South Florida, and I push my son and my daughter to do as much as possible. Because I really feel like the fact that I played baseball and basketball, it helped with some of my football skills. You know, I mean, if anybody ever read the scouting report on Jermon Bushrod, it was sucks versus the bull rush at times, you know, hates power moves, but I'll cover your ass up, you know, with the best of them. You know, and I feel like my hand-eye coordination and my footwork all kind of played a part, you know. Now, maybe if I would have focused on football, you know, all of my career, you know, when I was growing up through middle school and high school, like a lot of kids are doing now, maybe I could have been, you know, stronger, lower, stronger in the hips. I could have, you know, been a little bit better when I got to the league. Thank God that my NFL journey went the way it went. You know, I didn't get thrown in there. I had some time to grow physically, mentally, and I was, you know, I turned it in to a career I never thought I would really have. But I'll play the other side of the fence. I don't know if I want to play football every day and have the possibility of, because kids get burnt out. You know, I was a kid. I didn't want to treat sports too much like a job. I wanted to be the best that I could until my 11th and 12th grade year. And I was like, okay, well, I want to try to find a way to get a scholarship. Now, maybe, I don't know. That's such a hard question. You know, my parents never pushed me or forced me to do anything. I played what all my friends were playing, and my friends played 3 to 4 sports a year in high school, and that's what I wanted to do. And baseball was my passion growing up. And not a lot of people know that, but I didn't start until I was halfway through my junior year in high school. So I never really thought that football or the NFL was never really on my radar. I wanted to go to school to play baseball, but when I graduated high school, I was 285, so I don't know too many 285-pound baseball players. So, you know, I kind of had to go the other route, and I ended up getting a scholarship after my first 2 years in Towson. I had to pay my first couple years, but I ended up getting a scholarship my first 2 years, after my first 2 years and going to Towson, and I got, you know, not introduced, but I had my offensive line coach there who kind of showed me the way. I guess you could say molded me, changed my mindset a little bit. So I think it was just for the people that I had come into my life that helped catapult me to where I am today. Now, to me, I can't focus on one thing. I'm not going to let my son focus on one thing unless he's just some standout young phenom and that's his future and that's what he's going to do. I like my kids to play everything. I like to see kids that can play this, that can play that, that can be competitive in other sports as well.
You know, you and I were both inserted into a lineup that was in the makings of a Super Bowl season, which is interesting. But then you go back to New Orleans after you had some stints with a couple of other teams, one being the Bears. So now you're an elder statesman with a great deal of experience carrying a Super Bowl ring back into the same locker room that you left a couple of years ago. How was that whole transition? Because I really can't imagine what it would be like.
Honestly, I enjoyed it, man. Like, to have the opportunity to be the old guy in the room, to quote-unquote be the uncle in the room, it was an honor. Like, it was an honor for me to be able to be in that position. But for me to go from a younger guy with my first stint in New Orleans, and I grew so much. Like, we won those games, and I tell people all the time, I didn't really understand how great of a run it was until, you know, years later when you fight so hard to try to go and win another championship or, you know, to make the playoffs and you don't get it and you understand, like, how precious these opportunities and these chances really are and you want to make the best of it. And that's really all I tried to do. When I was with the Bears and the Dolphins, I tried to give you what I could, you know, and that's really all you can do. Bring the ones around you, help some younger guys. It was really an honor to be, you know, a 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th year guy in the locker room, somebody that people look up to. And I had the opportunity to go back to New Orleans. I could take my wife back to New Orleans. That's where she's from. That's where I started my career. You know, we hit some family turmoil with losing a child there, and I think it was all part of God's plan, you know, for me to be back there and surrounded by some familiarity, some family. So it was needed, man. You know, I'm a small town kid from King George, Virginia, so for me to even have these opportunities and have my career end the way that it did, it sucked that we had to end it on the whole no call, but I, you know, later on in my life, I tried to put everything into perspective, and it's all good. I'm very blessed, very fortunate.
Our final few moments here with former Bears offensive lineman Jermon Bushrod on 670 The Score. So you've seen a whole lot in your life and your career, and from an NFL standpoint, to go from the Kaepernick situation to the biggest stars in the game today making that powerful video. The next day, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, responds with words that you probably never thought you would hear from the NFL commissioner to the league now planning to observe Juneteenth as a league holiday.
It's the voice.
Yeah, how did this happen, and what's next? What needs to happen next?
We keep having conversations. We keep opening up opportunities for change, reform. You know, we all want to be respected and seen as equal. You keep having the conversations. You keep getting these corporations. You keep getting everybody to continue to speak up for the good fight, and that's really what it's about. You know, life is about having a change of heart. Like we said earlier, Kaepernick he made the ultimate sacrifice. But then you have guys like Michael Thomas who orchestrated this this video that was put out. You know, I believe, you know, from what I read, the league didn't know about it. And it kind of forces the league's hand to open their eyes and realize that, hey, 70%, 75% of your players are African-American. You need to listen to what they're saying because they're passionate about these things that are going on, and nobody's practicing and nobody's playing. So you have to understand, like, there's no distractions. So guys are training and then they're fighting for what they feel like is right. to me, we're in a beautiful place. I'm not, you know, there's some people who don't like it, but I'm here for it. I'm so proud of the people who are stepping up, who are speaking. You know, I know it's a long time coming for some of the businesses and the corporations to kind of see, but they're stepping up as well. And it's we live in a world where we want instant gratification, but it's baby steps. Let's keep this narrative open. Let's keep talking. Let's keep growing, and let's just keep changing and understanding people. And you know, let's just be better. You know, let's just be better as a whole. Let's just, you know, we want America to be the best place that we can, you know, where everybody has the same opportunities and you're not looked at in a different light because of, you know, what color your skin is. You know, we want the same opportunities. And I just, I'm very fortunate that guys are stepping up and people are starting to open their eyes a little bit. You know, some people are still ignorant, but it's okay. You know, it's fine. You can't change everybody, but as long as you can change the masses, that's what counts. And, you know, just shout out to everybody who continues to use their voice and are stepping up the way that everyone is.
You've done that through your podcast and on social media, the reach that you have. Has this, everything that's kind of happened right now, and you've kind of mentioned it, it's all related. It started with the pandemic and then what happened to George Floyd and the protests that have occurred since then. Have you thought about what your post-playing days are going to be like now going forward? Has this changed maybe your thinking about what you want to do going forward?
Yeah, it definitely made me start to think of, you know, what's going to really be my next passion in life. You know, I took last year, I retired after football, and I've had the opportunity to spend more time with my wife and my kids, and I just had another baby 7 months ago. And I have a foundation, the Visualize and Rise Foundation, and we've been doing this since 2010. And we had to cancel some events this year, but we've been giving money and scholarships, and we've been helping out a lot of people in need. But now I feel like there's a need for more change that I can start to be around more, start building more programs. Eventually, I'm going to open up a Visualize and Rise education and activity center because these kids need positive role models in all different shapes, sizes, and colors because people need, you know, you never know where you're going to draw your inspiration or your motivation from. And I've had so many people throughout my life who have inspired me that have seen things in me that I have never seen before. So it's important for me to continue to give back. And the fact that everything is going on now, it's like, how can I take my foundation and make it bigger and make it better and have more of a tangible change? You know, I can, you know, be there as they are, you know, as they're growing up, take these kids on college tours, be, you know, just show them success stories, you know, helping them find a way out of their situation. And it's when you're talking, you know, you can only talk for so much, but you have to find a way to do. So you're either, you know, making sure encouraging everybody to vote, making sure, you know, you're educating everybody on the issues at hand, on American history and things like that. So it's just really about speaking up, speaking for change, speaking for action, and then also doing it. And we're going to do it. And we've done it. And we're going to continue to do it. And this has motivated me and my family even more to try to make more of a change.
Jermon, thank you so much for your perspective. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jermon.
No problem. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Jermon Bushrod, the former Bears offensive lineman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.